Are women morally superior to men? Hello, and welcome to Good Word, a program dedicated to exploring issues of faith and the Bible. Our discussion focuses on the Gospel of Luke, and specifically this week, the title of our lesson is Women in the Ministry of Jesus. My name is Paul Dibdahl. I'm joined by Pam Kress, a professor in the School of Social Work and Sociology at Walla Walla University, and also by Daryl Bigger, a professor in the School of Theology, a colleague of mine at Walla Walla University. Welcome to both of you. I tried to be a little spicy there with that initial question. Do you want to, either of you brave enough to?
No, I'm not going to answer that question.
Let me set it up just a little bit here. Nowhere in the Synoptic Gospels, so the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, nowhere do we find women hostile to Jesus. Plenty of men that are hostile to Jesus. We don't find women that are hostile to Jesus. Are women just better than men?
Well, yeah, short answer is yes. Yeah, no. Seriously, I think probably not. I have to get back to my sociological stuff of
qualified.
No, we probably, they are not. But you have to think about the culture in which they were living. Mm-hmm. They were unrecognized. They were often poor, and especially if they were widows or divorced and put away from their husbands. They were living on very little income. And here along comes a man who pays attention to them and actually hears them and understands them. And women like to be understood. So I couldn't be hostile to a man who understood me. Short answer, crazy answer, but.
Well, I would ask the biblical scholars whether the lack of women being hostile to Jesus was really the lack of any women who were hesitant about what Jesus said, or whether it was a cultural reflection of the day of not recording any women's opinions about
That's true.
Luke does go out of his way later on, and maybe you're going to get to that, the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus. He goes out of his way to include women's opinions.
Yeah. Is it just there at the end of the book, though, Daryl? The opening chapters of Luke, opening chapter, the story really revolves around a couple of women, and they come out looking pretty
Mary
good.
Mary and Elizabeth.
And a line from Elizabeth, wife of Zechariah, mother of John. I was trying to think of a time when I've heard somebody reflect on this, but in preparing these lessons, I was astonished. When Mary comes to visit Elizabeth, she says, "Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" It's the first, I think, human kind of declaration of who Jesus is, and it comes from the lips of a woman. So all through his book, Luke does seem to give voice to women, and they just come across in a pretty good way throughout the book.
And Pam, you're the one who is the expert in leadership studies, but is it not the case that in groups of people, women tend to cooperate with one another, men tend to compete with one another? I hear that said.
Perhaps, but I've often viewed it myself personally as the other way around. So I'm not sure that statement is totally correct, that women do tend to compete quite a bit with each other. But I think if we have a common task, maybe that's jumping in to make sure things happen. We move to nurturing more quickly, perhaps,
Do women tend to function more on a level with one another, whereas men want to establish a pecking order, a hierarchy, pretty quickly? Is that also just too much of a blanket statement?
It may be. I may be more a woman of the 21st century than of the whatever AD we were talking about with these women. I think that human nature probably is more that way than just maybe a male-female.
See, it reinforces something else in the Gospel of Luke. about the role of women in the party who were supportive of Jesus, that they were behind-the-scenes people who were making major contributions to the success of his work.
Now, maybe we should just make sure we're all clear on that. What do you want to say more, Daryl?
No, help yourself.
We hear a lot about the disciples of Jesus. Most of us think of the 12. That's perfectly fine. All of them were men. But Luke, in some really interesting passages, little snippets, point us in a direction that I think many of us don't think about much. Did Jesus just travel, or were the disciples that traveled with him only men?
No, they're recorded women, yeah.
And what were these women, what did they do? They just sort of tagged along? What does Luke tell us? I'm putting you on
chapter,
the spot.
One chapter, I think it was in 8 maybe, where he talks in terms of women actually supported him with money.
Okay. Out of their own means, he says. So it's not money that they've borrowed from someone else, but the women with some means that travel along with Jesus and his disciples and are financially supporting
And just that one statement, my imagination kind of went wild. Who were these women? What did they do that they would have that kind of means? Was it their husband's occupation money they were just kind of using, or did they do something?
Yeah, there's a lot there that I don't think we know all the answers to, but Luke lets us know. And it in this culture, in our culture, less of a shock. But I think in Luke's original listeners, these little statements would have really stood out for them, would have been extremely, extremely significant.
So it was a very gender-inclusive description he makes.
Yes.
Unusually so.
Yeah, I believe so.
And these women are taking care of logistical things, the needs of the group of people, and doing it without any fanfare, very little recognition. And he sort of waves the flag here. Yeah.
So I'm afraid somebody thinks we're overselling this point. I'm going to read just a couple of phrases and quickly give references, and then we'll move on from there. But in Luke chapter 8, as you said, Pam, we read that Jesus is traveling about, quote, from one town and village to another. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. That's chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. Then Luke continues, these women were helping to support them out of their own means. You say, okay, well, that was then what happened. Well, at the end of the book, twice in chapter 23, verses 49 and 55, Luke tells us that there were women in Jerusalem who had followed Jesus from Galilee. And that journey from Galilee to Jerusalem begins in chapter 9 in the gospel. So through most of Luke, we really have a mixed group of followers that are traveling with Jesus. I think it's extremely significant. Shifting gears just a little bit, Jesus could sometimes be found in the company of women, and I'm not sure how to say this. I'll try to say it in a delicate way. He was sometimes found in the company of women with some questionable moral histories, questionable sexual ethics. Why would he do that? Wouldn't that be open to misunderstanding? Might people wonder about him if there's a prostitute or a former prostitute that is pouring ointment on him and weeping over him and touching him, touching his feet, wiping his feet with her hair? That wouldn't go over so well, it doesn't seem to me, today. What shall we say about this?
It reinforces the discussion we had earlier about the Sabbath to me, that this this creates a kind of freedom, a way out of a kind of enslavement that breathes hope into the human race.
And in this case, Daryl, the enslavement what may not have been the woman's choice.
Mm-hmm.
She may have been forced there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Jesus legitimizes that, you know, this wasn't all her fault,
mm-hmm.
that there's other people who might be responsible mm-hmm. for this profession that she's mm-hmm. chosen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Daryl?
Well, I was just going to say that it seems to me that Jesus was discreet about this.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't as if he was meeting them in the back room somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
It was in public settings,
mm-hmm.
but he wasn't excluding them because of their history.
Mm-hmm. Would it be fair to say that he treated men and women as human beings, as valuable human beings?
Mm-hmm. And nothing that has happened in the past took you out of that category.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's wonderful stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not a church historian at all, but I've done a little bit of reading about the early Christian church. And my understanding is that in the Roman Empire, men far outnumbered women, not because more men were more males were born, but because there was some selection that took mm-hmm. place. And a baby girl was not as welcomed and would be oftentimes abandoned somewhere, simply abandoned to the elements to die. And so there was this inequity in terms of more men than women. In the Christian church, however, women outnumbered men, even mm-hmm. though they were a smaller portion of the population. And the reason was that Christianity and Jesus in particular offered such a welcoming, supportive kind of community that women were drawn to that. Jesus upheld marriage. Jesus upheld the importance of children. And he treated women as human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And women were drawn to that, as of course any of us would be. I think it's a beautiful testimony. I feel sad sometimes that Christianity has not always maintained that kind of reputation as being a place where everyone is welcome. I think the example of Jesus, however, calls us to that high standard, that high ideal. That was a little reflection here as we conclude. I want to thank you both for reflecting along with me. Pam and Daryl, thank you also to David Olson, our program engineer, and thank you for listening in. For The Good Word, I'm Paul Dibdahl.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.